Lord, as we come into your word, I pray that you would teach us. Amen. You've heard these stories, these parables, preached and taught and teached and even sung about. Babe in a manger, the Good Samaritan. And yes, we love that Good Samaritan story because we're in there. Matter of fact, you didn't realize you're in there twice. We're in there. We love to be the traveler who was beat up. And we identify with the traveler who's beat up. And we say, yes, 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 Lord. And we love the fact that the Lord stopped. And Mrs. White in Christ Object Lessons, in His Art of Ages, she tells us who these characters are. She said Jesus portrays himself as the Good Samaritan. But there's one other character that she talks about that we miss sometimes. The innkeeper is the church. Today I want to talk about the tale of two innkeepers and why that should be important to us. Ladies and gentlemen, it is interesting that the only gospel that talks or highlights Jesus as a Gentile is Luke. Luke, a Gentile writer himself, is surprised by the fact that Jesus would be represented by a Gentile, a Samaritan. This is the only gospel where Jesus is portrayed as a non-Jew. John doesn't write about it. Mark doesn't touch it. Matthew, no mention. But a Gentile gospel writer caught the attention and, hey, wait a second. Jesus represented as a non-Jew. I need to write about that. See, ladies and gentlemen, the important lesson in that is that Jesus identifies with anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter what your genealogy is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your heritage is. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, if I could identify with a Samaritan, I certainly could identify with you. Just sit down and say amen. Let's sing the closing song. The fact that Jesus could identify with anybody, and he does with everybody. But that's not the subject of the sermon. The innkeeper, ladies and gentlemen, if the innkeeper is the church, then the first innkeeper, which is, the Bible just talks about him briefly. Turn your Bible with me, Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking in the Bible this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. The first innkeeper presented a real problem for Jesus. Because if the innkeeper is his church, then this fella didn't do right. So God had to fix this before he left. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. You there? Say amen. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The first innkeeper was a mean brother. See, if the innkeeper is supposed to be the church, and the Bible says, Paul says in 1 Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, that the church, us, the elect, therefore as the elect of God, be holy, put on tender mercies, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. He says in John 13:35, for by this you would know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Ladies and gentlemen, if I look at the first innkeeper and he represents the church, I must ask myself the question, the fellow that says, there is no room in the inn, I must ask myself the question, did this innkeeper demonstrate love? Did he demonstrate compassion? Did he demonstrate temperance? Did he demonstrate patience? Did he demonstrate charity? Did he demonstrate brotherly kindness? But let me bring this home. Do you? If the innkeeper is the church, then this fellow posed a real, real problem. That's not the image God wanted in His mind to leave in our minds. First to begin, and you've heard the story preached about this guy, and he's gotten a bad rap. Yep, he did not know who his guest was, but the first thing to know that this guy was too busy. I mean, Herod had said that, hey, all the Jews, every babe need to be counted. So everyone had come into Jerusalem. It was a busy time for this guy. And you would imagine innkeepers did not have a rep to be very honest guys. They were people who will charge the most they can get for a room. And so this was his high season. Everybody was in town. They needed to stay someplace. So he was too busy to pay attention to these guests. So he said, hey, I got no room. Secondly, when he looked at these guests, this is his hay season. This is his Holiday Inn. This is his hotel suite. This is his upscale. This is his Wyndham Resort. This is his Marriott. So he's looking outside in the parking lot and his Lexuses and SUVs. But here comes a car sputtering. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And long after they've turned off the engine, the car engine is still running. They're in the hotel and the engine is still tut, 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 tut. And so he's not impressed by these two. Mary, looking very humbly, about 16, 17 years old, is pregnant. And then he happens to notice Joseph's hand. And it's not a boardroom hand, Bernard. It's not. It's calluses. It's a man who labored. It's a carpenter. So he looked at these two and he said, surely they can't afford. You know, I've got the best, you know, at 6 to 9, they got 6 to 9 in the morning. They'll be having cooked breakfasts. They can't afford what I will need to charge. So there's no room. Not impressed by these guests. The common looked at this couple. Not impressed. That's the first innkeeper. His hands didn't seem right, ladies and gentlemen. If that innkeeper represents the church, then too often as churches, we dread members who come into the church and don't fit a certain profile. Just as he had looked at them, he said, the car wasn't right. She just didn't look like she belonged at the Wyndham. Matter of fact, I think there's a Motel 6 down the road. Maybe she should go there. And so as a church, sometimes we say, you know what? This family, Bernard. This family, Joanne. We don't want this family. You know why? Because when we bring this family, this family will drain the benevolent fund. We'll bring this family into the church, and the minute they walk in, the first item on the church board is, can you help so-and-so? And next month, can you help so-and-so? And the church begins to say, well, wait a second. Can they find jobs? And so this is not the members we want. They drain the fund. There is no room in this church for members who drain our benevolent fund. That's who this innkeeper portrayed. No room in the inn. Now, he could not have known that Jesus was the most important guest at the time. But ladies and gentlemen, he did not have that curiosity to inquire as who you were and where you're from. He really lacked the curiosity to inquire, both because had he done so, he might have discovered. Matter of fact, thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't, because this would have been a very complicated situation. If he had stopped to inquire of his guest, a little bit of background, the conversation would have gone like this. Mary? Yeah, what's your name? Mary. Okay. So you're pregnant? Uh-huh. Is this the father? No. Well, who's the father? The Holy Ghost. The who? Well, you know, the Holy Ghost. And he'd be looking at Joseph. What are you trying to do? This is not the right place. There's a place where people go to talk that kind of stuff. She's pregnant and she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. This is not a medical facility. So thank God he didn't stop to inquire, because it would have been a very complicated conversation. Just didn't make sense to him. But lack the curiosity. This is indicative of a church that has become so preoccupied with programs and calendars and procedures and attendance, so that they're really not interested in the people. They are interested in how many people come, but they couldn't tell you exactly who came. There's no discipleship program in such a church. They're more focused in increasing the number of their members than transforming their members into disciples for the kingdom of God. This is a church who pays more attention to performative ministry rather than transformative ministry. Every ministry puts on a program. Every ministry puts on a show. That's who that first innkeeper represented. The other problem with this innkeeper, believe it or not, he perfectly depicted the state of the Jewish nation at the time. The Jews had rejected Christ. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. So this innkeeper was a microcosm of what the Jewish mindset was. No room in the inn for the Savior of the world. We don't recognize him. So this innkeeper was a real indicator of the state of the Jewish church at the time. The final thing I want to say about this innkeeper before I really move on to the second one. Ladies and gentlemen, this innkeeper, the first one, he is a visual indicator of the Laodicean church in the last days. They remained uncommitted in their identity with Christ. Christ condemns that mindset as worthy of being spit out or vomited. He would rather have believers faithfully follow him. Listen, Jesus would rather have you faithfully follow him, or he'd rather you not faithfully follow him. Because if you are faithfully following him, then he'll bless you with the gifts that you need to help those who are not faithfully following him. Because for those who are not faithfully following him, then the Holy Spirit has someone to work with. But when you're lukewarm, you're neither whole nor cut. Heaven's really confused. What are we doing here? You're Christian? You're not a Christian? Do you want the Holy Ghost? You're pretending like you have it, but you don't. You confuse heaven when you need a hot nor cold. So this innkeeper signified all the wrong attributes. If the innkeeper is the church, he signified all the wrong attributes, the Jesus, all the wrong characteristics. Nothing about that first innkeeper reflected what Jesus wanted to be the image of us in his mind. So he had to fix it. And the way he fixed it was to tell this parable of the Good Samaritan. And again, there were some very different approaches he took with the innkeeper. Now, there are some, looking back at Luke chapter 10, there are some who incorrectly state that the inn is the church. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the church is never the building. So in that story, when the Samaritan took the man to the inn is not the church. Because the inn is a building. I hope you do know that. The church is not 550 Joshua Road. The church is us. So the innkeeper is the church. Because if you notice, out of the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, there is only one, if Jesus represents the Good Samaritan, there is only one person he speaks to. The innkeeper. He spends time speaking to the innkeeper. Ladies and gentlemen, God spends time speaking to his church. Well, what is he saying? Well, let's look at what he told the innkeeper. All right, so we're going now to Luke chapter 10. I want to look at verse 35. Because that's where I think the meat of this thing. So he first finds the lost. We know who that is. He binds them up. Jesus binds them up. Takes care of them. And then he brings the lost in a state of incompleteness. And he brings them to us. He brings the loss to the church. Look at this. Verse 35. On the next day, when he departed, this is Luke chapter 10, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Now, this is the only time the Good Samaritan is speaking. Jesus. He's speaking to his church. But listen to what he says. Take care of him. Instruction number one. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay. 3 things. Take care of him, you will spend. And whatever you spend, when I come, I'll repay. Now let's unpack these 3 instructions. Now, we said that the first innkeeper turned the folks away. He represented a cold church. Jesus didn't trust the innkeeper to choose the guests. So he brought the innkeeper. He didn't give him an option. Hey, you take care of this guy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't lose the connection. It is God who comes to the church with the people that we need to take care of. The first innkeeper exercised choice. Hey, don't come in here. Y'all don't look right. You can't pick. Got no room. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Bible scholars tell us now that that should never have happened. In Jewish culture, a pregnant woman would have been given the spot over someone else in the inn. That's the Jewish culture. You never kick out the pregnant woman. You find some way to ask one of the other guests either to make room or to move around because you have a pregnant Jewish woman who's carrying a boy child. So everything about that first situation was totally wrong. Irrespective of whether he knew was the Son of God or not, that church had a bad attitude. So Jesus is saying, hey, listen. I don't trust the church to choose who comes into the church. I'll choose who come into the church for them. Everybody that enters these doors that God sends, we have to recognize, irrespective of where we put them on the social or economical scale, we have to understand that it's God who sent them here. He went and said, hey, I'm checking in with this guy and I'm leaving this guy with you. That would be consistent because Peter in Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's consistent. He's the one that went to the innkeeper and said, you take care of him. He's adding to the church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are some personal implications of this story that I don't want you to miss. See, watch this now. Oh, this is something else happening here now. I want to take you into this parable. The innkeeper is going about his business. He's in the business of finding boarding for guests. That's his business model. Rest. He is not equipped to take care of people who are unwell. You wouldn't go to any hotel and check in with a wound. The same back then. So what's the message here? The message here on a personal level is that before Jesus brings a situation or a trial into your life, he has already fixed it up. Yeah. You're looking back at 2023 and says, oh man, I'm going through some stuff. Well, before the Samaritan brought the man to the innkeeper, he had already dressed his wound. He had fixed him up. So whatever you are going through, whatever situation Jesus puts into your life, he has already fixed it up so that it will cause you no harm. Did you get that? He just doesn't drop something in on you. Now, understand, this was a very unplanned situation. I want you to be in this narrative. You are an innkeeper, guest, linens, and all of a sudden, someone drops in on you. Matter of fact, maybe that day he had to go to a staff meeting, Hillary, right? He had to go make a bank deposit. And here comes this man saying, hey, take care of this fella here. And this fella need medical care. What? I don't have medical staff. It's not my problem. It's yours. What? What, Jesus? Are you kidding me? Hey. I want you to understand what's going to happen. What? And he says, whatever you spend. What? What? The innkeeper spending money on the guests? Well, that's unheard of. I've never heard of that model. It's like you pulling up in front of the Holiday Inn and saying, hey, listen, I'm here to stay for the holidays. Okay. Welcome, Mr. Silly. I'm checking in. Good. All right. And I want you. I'll be here for 2 nights. Okay. They take your credit card in case of other expenses. And you said, listen, however long I stay, you pay for it. What? That's not the way it works. But not if you go to a hotel and check your wife in, and then you say, listen, when I return, when is when? What businessman, you know, signs up for that? When you return? He left no date. When I return? What? So this innkeeper is just befuddled. What is this? This man, matter of fact, he's a Samaritan. Don't miss that. They were not held in high esteem by the Jews. But somehow, the relationship between the Samaritan and the innkeeper, Jesus and his church, is such that Jesus is comfortable enough to tell the church, I want you to take care of these people that I am saving. I'm bringing them into the church. I'm bringing them into the church just fixed up enough for you to work on them to complete the work that I have begun. He that has begun a good work in you. The innkeeper, God's church, has a very specific purpose. Mrs. White says in Acts of the Apostle, the church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ. And through the church will eventually be made manifest, even to the principalities and powers in heaven places, the final and full display of the love of God. See, Jesus introduces the world to his love. And then he brings them in the church so that we could display that love. Did you get that? That's a very high bar. Some of you almost say, you know what, I think I want to be the first innkeeper. Let me just decide who joins the church or not. That's not the model that Jesus wants. So he brings this man who didn't have the means to take care of himself. He brings this man who needed medical help. And just so that, see, Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows that the man has no nurses and staff. He knows that he has no bandages. He knows that he has no doctors and staff. So he tells him, to take care of this man, you will incur a cost. Because now the innkeeper had to put out an ad that, hey, I need nurses. I need doctors. Matter of fact, the only staff he had was staff that could clean rooms, wash linens, and do laundry. That's it. He had no medical staff. So if I'm going to take care of someone who is sick, he had to find staff. He had to hire them. That's why the Samaritan says, whatever you spend, I will repay. See, what's the message here for us? See, the message here for us is this. As we go out, this is why churches that are following the innkeeper model, as demonstrated by the Good Samaritan, they do not go through the church manual and just arbitrarily fill every office in the manual. They don't do that. Well, there's 60 offices in the church manual and we got to fill all. And you walk up to someone and you say, well, what do you do in the church? Well, I'm a, it's on page 97. What's that? I'm the interest coordinator. Well, what does the interest coordinator do? I don't know. It's in there. But they fill every manual. Nominating committee, fill every position. So everybody in the church got a title, but nobody in the church is doing anything. See, here's what the church that follows the innkeeper model. This is a church that understands its community needs. And as they bring people into the church, they fill those ministries that meet those needs. They only put people in ministry, not to give them titles. That's the first innkeeper. They put them in ministry and give them titles when the need arises. So if we have no interest in the community, we have no interest coordinator. When we start getting interest in the community, then we'll find an interest coordinator. When we start to tell the community what we do, when we do it, then we'll have a communications director. We won't put a communications director so they could tell you what you should already know. Oh, I'm the communications director. What do you do? I do the newsletter. Who the newsletter go to? Everybody who's in the church. Well, that's what the bulletin's for. But that's how some churches operate. The inward focus, every ministry. And you know, saints, why do you come to this church? Well, I come to this church because they have a good program for my kids. Mm. You sound a song like the first innkeeper. For my kids. Mm. How about if I came to the church, the reason I come to this church is because I'm trying to start a program for kids in the community. That's the second innkeeper. You talk to so many members. Why do we go to that church? Well, they have Pathfinders. Why? For my kids. So the church has become a service organization for their needs. And when the church can't service their needs, they don't come. That's why our pews are so empty. You have too many people aren't here because we aren't providing the service they need. And hey, saints, I'm fine with that. Yeah, go to the churches that provide the service you need. Because you got the wrong model. Jesus said to the innkeeper, listen, this is not your business model. I know you are not a hospital, but I brought a sick patient here, and you take care of him. I'm out. Until I come. Now, there are two things that are implicit in this. One, the innkeeper had to find staff he didn't have. We talked about that already. That God is adding to the church daily, and the church will add a ministry as the need arises. Here's the second thing. Saints, don't miss this. He didn't leave with an expectation that when the man was well enough, he will self-check out. Did you get that? The expectation was that the man would stay in the church until he returns. It doesn't mean that the Samaritan had in mind that the man will stay sick forever. No. What he has and what he's communicating to us is that as a believer, your place is in the church. That's why the New Testament says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. He didn't expect the man would be well enough and say, hey, listen, I'm good. See ya. Matter of fact, think about it. Where was he going to check out to go? Back where there was danger? So all these people, well, I don't come to church anymore. I'm worshiping at home. I'm self-checkout. Ladies and gentlemen, that is dangerous territory. You need to call all those who are going to Bedside Baptist and say, listen, the Good Samaritan did not have in mind that you would be churching yourself. He set up the church, expected you to be here, expected you to fellowship. Why? Because you got a role in the church. You're here to minister to others that he brings to the church. The reason why people self-check out is because they feel they ain't getting nothing here. So if there's nothing here for me, then I'm self-checking out. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a very selfish, self-centered Christian. A self-centered Adventist checks out when he or her believes the church has nothing for them. Jesus said, he will be with you until I return. We know what that return means. That return means when Jesus comes again. So there were two expectations. One, the innkeeper will find staff he didn't have. Two, he will incur cost, which the two denarii wouldn't cover. That's fine. And thirdly, that the sick man will remain in the church. That's where he belongs. At no point in time was the innkeeper supposed to disfellowship the guest. That's the first innkeeper. Hey, there's no room. We disfellowship you. I'm sure you hadn't thought about this before when you read this story. You didn't realize that wasn't there, huh? Jesus had a very, I'm not done yet. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the personal thing for you. This was an unexpected event that God dropped in the innkeeper's lap. Wasn't prepared for it. We narrated that about how it's similar as the church. God putting people in the church that we don't expect, we don't choose. But on a personal level, what does that mean? The Good Samaritan had trust this, but there were many inns in Jerusalem. He could have picked any other inn. But in the parable, he picked a specific inn. A lot of times, we ask ourselves, Lord, why is this happening in my life? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the problems and issues that are in your life were sent by God because he trusts you enough to handle them. Let me say that again. The Good Samaritan, what's the trust factor here? He had paid him 2 denarii when he was leaving, but his services had not yet added up to 2 denarii. We don't do that today. Neil, I don't say, hey, Neil, you look like a nice guy. Hey, let's what? Neil, here's $1,000. You know what? You know what we tend to do, Neil? We'll find everything to consume that $1,000, won't we? So that there was sufficient trust, he said, listen, hold this. You haven't done anything as yet, but I'm going to pay you ahead. So that's the trust factor there. And I know you will spend more, but I so trust you, you will only bill me for what you spend. There was some innkeeper that said, whoa, that's an open checkbook. I'll burn my mortgage on that. Only charge for what you spend. So when God has placed these trials in your life, this is why the Bible says he never gives you more than you can bear. Crystal, he expects that you are fully equipped to bear the trials he put in your life. He trusts you to bear them. What hurts his heart is when you say, hey, this is too much for me. See, if this innkeeper had said, hey, this is too much for me, he'd have done exactly what the first one did and kicked the man out. But he had to change his business model and convert his inn into a hospital for one man. That's how Jesus is. If you were the only person that had sinned, he would have died just for you. So he's saying, I don't care what you have to do, just for this one man. He's so important. Change your whole business model for him. Jesus doesn't give you more than you can bear in your life. So whatever problems he has placed in your life, understand that he trusts that you can handle it. If you don't believe that, then you need to go to him like that ruler and said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Those trials that are in your life, they shaped for you. Don't you look at me and said, hey, I wish I could. You don't know what I'm going through. And I look, based on some of the things I hear, Raquel, I don't want some of them other folks' problems. No, sir. You keep that. Tell me about it. I'll pray with you. But, seriously, you hear some of the problems some of us are going through, and you really have to thank God that He's given you the ability for you to carry that problem. And so we pray with you, not that you would get out of the problem. We pray with you so that God would help you get through the problem. So I heard a prayer this morning about changing the schedule. God is not going to change the schedule for you. I'm not praying that prayer. I'll be honest with you. I'm not praying. That prayer is not going to go anywhere but the ceiling. God is not going to change the schedule for you. He's not. Because guess what? Let me show you how selfish that might be. Lord, send me. I don't want any rain. Please, Lord, no rain. Well, guess what? The farmer next door, he needs rain. That's a very selfish prayer. So God sends the rain because the fellow next door has been praying for rain for his soybeans. So I'm not praying that God changes the schedule. No, no. Because guess what? There is somebody else on that job who needs that schedule. It fits their lifestyle perfectly. What I'm praying for, God give you the wisdom to do the right thing. It might mean it's a good time to change jobs. But that would mean that you'd have to step out in faith. That's what God is testing, your faith. He wants you to step out in faith. So he's testing this innkeeper and he said, listen, you got this problem. You don't have the staff. You don't know when I'll come again, but take care of it. And don't kick him out. When I come again, I will repay you. Very simple lesson this morning. The second innkeeper, the parable, fixes the problem of the first innkeeper. The church is meant to take care of whoever God adds to the church. That's our responsibility. On a personal level, I accept whatever God does in my life. I've accepted it. Don't try to change God's plan. Number two. He trusts you enough that you will get through your situation. He trusts you enough. He trusted that innkeeper enough that he wouldn't kick this man out. Thirdly, it's a test of faith. Do this until I return. See, if when God put trials in my life, he had given me the end date, then I'd be okay. Hey, Chris, this is going to happen and it'll stop happening in 2 weeks. I'm good with that, Lord. But where's the faith? There's no faith there. If I've given you a bad situation and told you exactly when it will end, that doesn't require faith. That doesn't require anything. That just requires acceptance. Okay, fine, sure, whatever. And this is how we would be, whatever. But because he doesn't tell us when, it's a test of faith in your life. So as you go into 2023, this is the image God wants in your life. He's prepared you. He's prepared you for it. He's prepared it for you. You're going to have to do some things differently. You're going to have to do some things differently. If a trial came into your life and you had to do nothing differently, that's not a trial. That's not merely an event. It's those things that come into our lives when we don't expect or we are least prepared, that God brings us out on the other side. Then we look back and we said, that's the grace of God. If he only gives you things that you could handle, we'll never see the working of God. We'll claim it to ourselves. I can handle this because I went to school for this. I can handle that because I have training in that. I can handle this because I've seen this before. So he has to give you the things that you didn't see before. And finally, when I come again. Ladies and gentlemen, trials is present continuous. When he comes again. I wish I could tell you that there'll be a time in your life where there'll be no trials. But that's not what this story says. There'll always be trials. There'll always be trials. And he expects us to do our part. And he expects us to stay faithful. He expects the church to stay committed. He expects the church to love one another. And he expects we'll do it, not until the person leaves the church, but he expects that we'll do it until he comes. Amen. My appeal to you this morning, wherever you are, in your Christian experience, wherever you are in your walk, you want to say this morning, God, I'm not sure I understand everything there. Some things I hadn't heard before, but God, I want to leave here this morning with the faith. I just want to leave here with the faith. Is that your plea this morning? Can I see those hands? I see those hands. Lord, I just want to leave with the faith. Here's my second appeal. If you've been coming to this church, or you're church hopping, you're looking for a church that has everything you need, but you heard this morning that there's a sacrifice, that you need to find a church that will allow you to do something for somebody. Not a church that does something for you. If you believe that you found a church where you can do something for somebody and you haven't moved your membership, then there's a connect card at the back of the seat. Just put in there, I'm praying about this. Put your name, your contact information, and pray for me. We'll pray for you. Because we believe we are such a church. We are God. Has something for you to do. We're not offering anything for you. Nothing. Nothing. Every time we open the doors, we said, come in, experience God. Let God do it for you. We're not promising anything but the fact that when you come here, you will experience God. Because when you do, you'll get everything you need. We pray, Father.